three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Actually, give me a second.
Yep.
Sorry, dust on the mic.
Let me test. My levels are they okay? They're coming along.
You're right. Sorry, everyone. We're rusty. We're dusting off the mics. It's been, 2 months maybe, Andrew?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, probably. We did that one bonus one midway through the off season. But yes, we're both out of practice.
So bear with us now. You're with the NBL Pocket Podcast. Joseph Gore is my name. Andrew Canyon is over there. Andrew is in Darwin for the Blitz. I'm not, unfortunately, and neither is another co-host, but we've got a man on the ground, which is pretty cool.
That's it. I've never been the reporter on the scene, so to speak. So this is quite exciting. It's a new opportunity for the NBL Pocket Podcast.
The question is, what are we going to do on this episode? We're going to talk about the AFL deal. We're going to talk about Paddy Mills' recent visit, or soon to be. And then we're just going to have a bit of a glance over each team, what we like, what we don't like, what we're expecting from them in the Blitz, or what we want clarification on as they play in the Blitz in the coming days and weeks. It will be pretty informal. Let's have some fun with it. Andrew, let's start with this AFL deal. I know it's not basketball, but it's semi-related. It's TV, it's sports.
Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. You haven't heard from us in months. Let's talk footy.
I think it has a trickle-down effect here. For people out there, AFL signed a new deal. I think it's worth about $550 million a season. I think it was a 3 or 4 5-year deal thereabouts, so it was well over $1 billion. Signed by Seven, Foxtel, yep. KO,
yep.
With the AFL. Huge amount of money. Andrew, what did you think of it just as a sporting TV right, but also maybe its effect on basketball?
Well, the first thing that struck me was the size of the deal, because I know Channel 10 were pushing hard to try and win it. So the fact that they basically just inflated the price. So only the AFL walks away very happy from that arrangement. But it also struck me, it was only a few years ago, I remember hearing the AFL was in a fair bit of strife because they'd had player bad behavior, coach bad behavior, scores were down, it was a dour kind of play, the rules weren't really attracting the casual fan. And yet they pushed through all of that and now they signed this massive deal. It's like footy can do no wrong. It is just a complete entity unto itself.
Yeah, juggernaut.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I think, looking at it from a basketball context, it's a bit of a blow for basketball, but only small. It looks like the NBL is only too happy to align itself with ESPN. And I like that alignment. It's very on brand for both. You know, it's an American sport and it's on an American subsidiary. What's interesting though is if 10 had got the AFL, this would have helped the NBL just by, I think, trickle down, because they would have been on the same network and you would have brought in that AFL thing. I know it's a different time of year, but maybe there's a slight crossover, but it would have boosted up Channel 10, and basketball has a relationship with 10. So I think it would have gone a little bit of a ways to improving that relationship or improving the outcome of that relationship. But
yeah, it's all about. Yeah, it's usually all about cross-promotion these days, isn't it? It's like, what can you advertise with the thing that you've got going on at the moment? And it would have been a nice little segue to go, hey, you like footy, you might like basketball. And now there's remain at loggerheads, so we won't be seeing too much of that, I don't think.
And as you said, 10 wanted it bad. I mean, Paramount wanted it, offered a huge amount of money, I think the similar amount of money. What I want to talk to you about is, what's interesting is it seems like a deal that's propping up Foxtel. I don't know who watches or has Foxtel anymore. It seems a bizarre thing to me. I haven't known anyone to get a new Foxtel box in years, but maybe I'm wrong about that. But the deal kind of propped up Foxtel. But what it also did was it really put its money on KO. And I was hoping the AFL might do something really adventurous and go, no, we're not going to use Foxtel. We're not going to use KO. We're going to start our own streaming service and da-da-da. There was not a lot of fantasy with the deal. And as a result of that, you know, what does that say for basketball? I don't really know, but you're big into streaming and stuff. What did you think of it from from that angle, where it went with the pretty old-fashioned Foxtel and a little bit of KO, which is pretty established. It didn't branch out much.
Yeah, I think Foxtel is still the thing in the pubs, and I guess that's where it still has its value. I don't think residentials are really getting Foxtel anymore. It's very much a legacy product. But to try and launch your own streaming platform, that's a lot of, like, while it's been commoditized a fair bit, it's still a hassle, and it's not really the AFL's core competency. So I think going with KO makes sense in that regard. And obviously KO is part of Foxtel, so that tie-up makes sense. And I think just over the next few years, we'll just see a gradual increase in KO branding and a decrease in the Fox Sports, Foxtel kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a very keen observation. I think that's probably pretty true. The only thing that would have been nice about 10 is Paramount Plus, soon to be a big streaming service. Maybe AFL could have done something and branded content on that. Anyway, but didn't happen. Let's move on.
Any more streaming services. I can't afford any more, okay? Just, there's too many as it is. It's ridiculous.
The last thing I'll say on this is people were sort of like, oh, so Paramount Plus, or Paramount's lost out on the AFL. Maybe basketball is a consolation prize. I just don't think so. The AFL is just such a crown jewel. You know, it's more beneficial to spend $500 million on the AFL than four on the basketball. It's just not, it's not a second best, unfortunately, at this stage in the NBL anyway. But that's that.
Not the weekend.
Let's jump on.
Because we love basketball. That's what we're here for.
We love basketball. We enjoy it on ESPN. They do a good coverage. And now they've got Jam TV involved. Jam TV, I kind of have been aware of. They're here. They're based here in Melbourne. And they do fine work. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the production values change, if at all, this year with that, that the change.
Well, with a name like Jam TV, you'd hope they have a basketball background so they'd know, like, oh, no, as he's laying the ball up, don't cut away from the play. Yeah, that's... Let's jump on.
Paddy Mills.
Paddy Mills is in the country. He's doing speeches. He's doing trainings. He's doing a bunch of stuff. I feel like a bit of a, I don't know what word to use. I'm going to say it, twat. It's been a lot of English stuff on TV lately. I feel a bit of a twat. I've been harping on about the cost of stuff. Bit toppy for my taste. What do you think?
It was a bit pricey. Look, I was never in the market. I don't even think he's coming to Perth, so definitely not in the market. But, yeah, a lot of money to hear stories that I feel like I already have heard. I don't know how much value you'd get out of it. But if you're willing to throw a lot of money his way, you can tell us. Was it worth it?
Yeah. $100 for the speaking engagements, up to $400 if you sort of meet and greet. Children's school camps, basketball, 3 hours at a time, $250 per child. $250. And we were talking off air, and Melbourne United run a 2-day, 6-hour at a time, so 12-hour in total camp for, I think, you know, half that amount. Bit much for my taste.
Money. It's a lot of money.
If you imagine if you're just a 2-kid family, it's $500 for 3 hours of fun.
I'm a parent of 2 kids. I couldn't justify that. And say kids, we're not doing it.
Not slagging off Paddy Mills personally. I'm just thinking, you know, profit's going to be made. There, I'll say. And I don't know if that's really the spirit. It'd be probably a decent profit too. Let's jump on because that's going to get us in trouble. Let's talk about teams. The season coming up, the Blitz, you're there, you're going to be watching these teams. Before we do that, though, talk about the Blitz in general. Are you optimistic about the season upcoming? I am.
I am, yeah. I'm glad we had a bit of a break, a refresh from it all. I didn't really escape basketball over this season because I've been doing the NBL 1 stuff. So I've still been entrenched in basketball, but I tried to give myself a break from NBL 1, so I'm enthusiastic about getting back into it. And I think there's enough change across the entire league now that it's kind of interesting. You can make an argument that a number of the teams could be the team to beat, so that's fun.
Yeah.
There's probably
One or two dud teams. Parity's improved. Mm. I look at these teams and I think Perth kind of returned to the fray a wee bit, obviously. Melbourne, a lot of change, so they kind of come into the fray. Sydney won it, didn't retain their guys, so they come back into the fray. Southeast Melbourne, you never kind of know with them. They're always sort of very much victims of circumstance. There's a number of teams. There's a couple of teams I may or may not write off. But we'll talk about it more as we move on. Yep. Let's go through each team. Let's talk about what we like, what we don't like and what we're expecting from them in the Blitz. More particularly, what you're expecting from them at the Blitz because you're there. I want to talk about Brisbane. A lot has been said about Brisbane. Andrew Canyon, what do you think? What do you like? What don't you like? What are you expecting from the Blitz?
Well, I think Brisbane, I've been on them for the last few years, them being boring. And they're not going to be boring this year. So that's good because they've got, well, I think they'll have Baines at some point. He seems like he's already getting injured. So that's a disappointment. But they've got some, they've got Devondrick Walker. I'm super excited about seeing him play for them. As well as getting it, once Sobey comes back and is fit and get some legs under him, I think there could be an exciting team. And I haven't said that about Brisbane in a long time.
What are you expecting from them at the Blitz?
I'm expecting them to try to cement a defensive identity. I don't think they care about winning or losing. None of these teams care about winning or losing a Blitz game, but they're trying to establish habits. And I think Brisbane are going to be wanting to try and show that they actually have some defensive starch.
I like it. Habits, and I'd also say health. Who is going to be there?
Yep.
And it's important to play a little bit of the Blitz. Just be healthy for it. And can I ask, where do you see them in the scheme of coming into the season? Like up the top, up the bottom? Do you have a number for them?
I haven't done my like one through tens. I'd put them in the middle. I'd probably say just out of the playoffs, but certainly making it competitive and interesting for most teams when they come up against them. But I don't think they can make the finals.
I don't like this team. I'm going to put my flag. I'm going to put my flag into it. I have huge doubts. It's the injury for me. And we saw it with this team last year. One injury to Sobey and the whole thing fell out. And they had guys starting who were, bless them, just I didn't recognize them, pardon me. So that was an issue for them. Baines is injured. And also, I'm going to be brutal about this, but was kind of in decline before the injury. The NBA numbers were on the skid a little bit. The health, worried about that. And then also, Baines is real good when healthy. Yep. Big, tall, strong, I get it. But how is he not? What is there a huge difference between him and say Colton Iverson or Joe Chi? I just see. Yep, really big, lumbering 7-footer. How is he going to defend pick and roll? How is his endurance going to hold up? Like the NBL is a super fast league, and then also, what big guy has come to the NBL with success? These refs are going to cut him down like Age Redwood. I have huge worries. Huge worries. And then the second thing is the point guard issue. It's going to be Jason Kadee again. I don't see how this team has made a radical change in that department. Tyler Johnson, the American.
Combo
guard. Like now they've got three combo guards. They're a little heavy in that area for me. Sobey, okay. Kadee, Johnson, Walker. All of them deserve minutes. And they're all kind of playing a couple of spots. Are they going to run all four at the same time and go small with back? I'm just like, oh, you're dear. I don't know. And then injuries already creeping into the equation, which kills NBL teams. Once you get an injury, it's so difficult. You can't make a trade. You can kind of bring people in, but that's been difficult. I have worries.
There's been sort of whispers that they're still looking around. They're still sniffing around in the import market to see what they can find. Will Devondrick Walker stick? I think he should. I think the guy's a gun. I've watched him play all season in the NBL one. He has been deadly. So I hope he sticks in the NBL this time around.
And this is the thing, like they have no stretchy wings with range outside of Walker. Walker's sort of the most, but is Walker a defensive guy? I thought that was the knock on him as to why he's not around.
He's okay. He's improved a lot in that regard, I think, since the last time we saw him in the NBL. But he's still just a knockdown shooter. That's honest what he's there for.
I can see some injuries going poorly, and I have done my rankings. I have this as the second worst team in the NBL. Am I being absurd?
Wow!
Big, tall, 7-footers in the NBL. Like Joe Chi, I've seen enough to go. I don't think Baines is. He hit that one. He had that one red hot 3-point year in the NBA, and since then it's been a little slim picking. And this is a guy who's coming off a really bad injury. I have to be brutal here. I'm sure he's a wonderful person, and it's a great redemption story. But it's like, you know, David doesn't always beat Goliath. Sometimes David gets beaten the hell up, and I just too many questions for me.
Okay,
I've done it. Well, yeah, let's move on.
Let's see what they got.
Melbourne United. What do you like? What don't you like? What are you expecting at the Blitz?
Well, I feel sorry for them because they basically had to reconstruct their entire roster. So that's tough. They've got Chris Golding, who's 1 year older. They got Brad Newley, who's definitely 1 year older. And then they're trying to bring in, like, Humphreys. Yeah, he's going to get injured. You know, you talk about injuries. He's one of them. They got Ratan Mays, who didn't love him last season. I got some serious doubts about this Melbourne team.
What do you want to see at the Blitz? Or what are you expecting at the Blitz?
Okay. I want to see where they're going to get their points from. Who's going to be the man for this team? Is it going to be Chris Golding? Or is it going to be Caroline?
You know, Tucker.
Tucker.
Ratan Mays.
He likes a mid-range jump shot. Who's the guy that is going to say, give me the ball, it's time to score? I worry about that.
Here's what I think. I think that every player, most players in the NBL and a lot of players around the world would have been absolutely gutted when Dellavedova signed with the NBA. They must have gone, oh, come on. Your Cottons, your Sovies, you know, Jalen Adams, all these guys must have gone, what the motherfucker? Putting that to one side. Bless Del. He got the money. Take it. Look, I'm not. He's got a take good the agent. Money and run. Woody Allen. I'll say this as well. Isaac Humphreys, we talk about his injuries and that.
Yep.
Go and listen to a musician who's just released a beautiful song called This City, a guy by the name of Sam Fisher. He's got the identical voice to Isaac Humphreys, which is to say a damn fine one. And yeah, that's good. That's what I want to say. So if I was up Humphreys, about what do you want to do? Do you want to be like Sam Fisher singing music concerts or playing the NBL? I'd want to be the singer, and I'm sure he would too. Moving on and being serious, I like XRM. His name? Yeah, Xavier Ratan Mays. I like him. I liked him in Illawarra. I thought that was a team that had so few options, and the ball was a bit sticky in his hands. I agree with that.
Yep.
But he can, and when you say where they're going to get their buckets, I say him. He can manufacture hoops. He was big in the finals for Illawarra. I quite like him. However, I can see if it doesn't go right, I can see it being quite explosive with CG43 if he's not getting the touches. Yep. That could be an implosion. Yeah,
it's going to be really interesting to watch that team chemistry, who the ball goes to. That's what I'm looking out for at the Blitz.
I will say this. I worry about the bigs. But for a minute, I was like, oh, Humphreys will miss time, and I was worried. But then I was thinking, their bigs are actually pretty good. Humphreys.
Yep.
Caroline, who's like a Mooney-esque kind of player, is the comp I've got.
Okay.
And Huck Porty.
Yeah, I like Huck Porty. Like,
oh, even if one of them misses time, like that's, you'll get 40 minutes out of them.
Yeah.
So I quite like them. And then this Tucker guy looks good. XRM I like. And then Golding Illy. That's a pretty good Humphreys, Caroline, Huck Porty, Tucker, Ratan Mays, Golding, Illy. That's a pretty good 7 or 8 guys. Yep. That's your rotation. That's good. And you know they're going to play Dion de Vickerman. So I actually had him as the best team in the NBL.
The best team?
I have him as I'm very tentative on it. But number one, same with Liam San Maria on overtime.
Wow.
I just think they got really good. I think the imports are going to be good.
Okay. Wow. Well, like I said, I haven't done my 1-10, but I wouldn't have had him that high. I'd have him in the finals, but
and also,
not one.
I have Humphreys to a lesser extent, but certainly Golding and Illy as being, you know, two of the top 10 locals in the NBL.
Yeah.
Seriously, they're good. Top 12, 13.
Who's next?
Perth Wildcats.
All right.
What do you like about them?
Big change. What am I looking to see at the Blitz? I'm looking to see what sort of influence is John really having on the team. What sort of structure are they going to run with this year? They for so many years we saw them run the flex stuff. Then last year they ran basically pick and roll and not much else. What is going to happen this year, and how is he going to get all these players touches? Because the flex would be good at that, but he's not going to run the flex.
No.
So you've got weapons all over the court. How are they going to be utilized?
And if you're looking for more of an insight into John Reilly, he joined Brad Rosen and Body Nodge on the Brad and Body podcast. Go and check that out.
Yep.
Here's what I'll say about Perth. Here's what I don't like. The locals. I don't think they have a local in the top 10, 15, 20 in the league. Their best is, well, here they are, Norton, Webster, Blanchfield, and Travers. Yeah. Not bad. Not bad.
It's okay. But not, it's
not great. You know, the Wildcats normally, you know, the Wildcats for years had Nick Kay. You know, best local big top, you know, was a NBL first teamer perennially and easily. And now they just don't have that. And they didn't have last year either.
Do we wonder if Bryce Cotton will become that extra Aussie at some point, or are we just giving up the dream on that one?
How long have we been saying this for? That's the thing. Yeah, 3 years, seriously. So one of them has to emerge as a top 20 talent. You'd say it's maybe Travers or Norton returns to form and health. So that's the big question. Will Webster fit? We've talked about it before. And the biggest trouble for really challenges, is Cotton going to see plenty of the ball? I'll be looking to see how much of Bryce Cotton happens. And then the other thing I want to see from the Blitz is Tayshaun Thomas. Firstly, is he healthy? Because if you start with an injury, it's just bad.
It's not great.
But I look at that team and I worry about defense, which is peculiar to say about the Wildcats. Is he going to be able to rebound and defend? I still quite like him. I have them as either the second or the third best team in the NBL.
Yep.
I think that's really
about,
be good.
That's about where I'd put him. So
next up.
Bounce back year for them.
Agreed. Sydney.
Sydney. Very intriguing, isn't it, Joe? The Sydney team. Defending
great
champions.
Recruitment. Pongrass does bring in good players. He really does. Jerome Martin. Adams.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's kind of what I'm looking interested in seeing. Like, how have they retooled? They've just said goodbye to their entire import trio, having to replace those. We know one of them, Justin Simon. But the others, bit of a wild card. And personally, I'm looking forward to seeing how Zach Katona. He won't get a lot of court time, but I want to see, hopefully he gets some court time, because he was a Perth Redbacks player that I was commentating all season this year, and he was fun to watch in the NBL 1 West. So hopefully,
what kind of player was he?
He's about 6'4", athletic as all get out, just wants to dunk everything. Awesome. And has a developing jump shot.
Good.
But defensive, like one game he got about 7 blocks as well. Awesome. So he goes after it defensively.
So like 6'4", 6'5", rangy, oh, not rangy, but lengthy.
Solid. He's solid. He's quite beefy.
Good.
He plays forward.
Here's my worry with the Kings. They've lost the ultimate winning good luck charm, which is Andrew Bogut retiring, because he retired last year, then they won. Retired from the Boomers, then they won a medal. retired from basketball with the Warriors, then they won the next year. I don't think that's quite right, but close enough. Huge. Adams, Martin, Clark. Clark's the big vacuum. I don't know how you feel that. He was such a fall from grace, a player who should not have been looking for a job mid-season and was. Cooks is key. Is Cooks the best big in the NBL? We were talking about it on the last pod. The big man stocks are a little bit gutted, a bit better now with the import signed, but is Cooks the top of the pop?
Well, he's got to be close, doesn't he? It's him and Mitch Creek are probably the two you would argue between. I'm looking forward to seeing how he shows up this year. He's got to grab this team and say, this is my team. He's got to full control.
He's got to be the best big in the NBL, or they're going to struggle to make the four. And then Hunter hanging around as well, which is good. Yep. I've got here big pressures on Vasiljevic. Adams has left. They're going to need him to score more. Full stop. He's got to do it. Walton looks like a decent player. Their import, we'll see. I really can't comment too much. But they've always got mid-season recruiting up their sleeve. I think that's a real got to hand it to Bogut there. I think he's probably got his finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
Just being so recently retired helps. What am I expecting from them at the Blitz? Are they going to, I don't know. Are they going to gel? Is there going to be D? Are they going to be a more defensive, offensive? They're a team that's won a championship. Is their management and owner as keen to sort of, eager to sort of spend? They've already had a taste of it now. Do they want to double dip? Are they willing to pay the price for that? We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see. We'll see how engaged they are at the Blitz. Moving on. Illawarra. Just to prefix this, I just got this is the worst team in the NBL next year. What do you think?
No argument from here. This team, I've already written them off.
Wow. Why?
Like, as a competitive threat in the league this year, they're not going to be there.
I just...
Sorry to interrupt you, but I saw a promo photo that was, I think it was Sam Froling and Harvey, and the jerseys didn't fit great, and it was missing that, you know, big blacked out spot for the major sponsor. That was missing. No Brian Gorge.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh dear. Like, their best player's been pilfered by Melbourne, bigger, better club. I was like, oh dear.
Yeah.
Didn't feel good.
Yeah. The poor old Hawks, they have ups and have downs, and I think they're heading into a down period again. Tyler Harvey was pretty ordinary last year. Will he bounce back? Haven't really seen anything to suggest he will. The best thing to come of this team will be some development of young guys. You know, if they can get some minutes into Lachie Dent, and Swakala Bullock continues his growth, Sam Froling, you know, like, they all have personal goals and maybe they'll reach some of those, but as a team, they're not going anywhere.
No, I agree. You think they're likely the worst team coming in?
Yeah, I think by a fair margin.
I guess from the Blitz, the only saving grace is if Harvey returns to being a top 2-3 player in the NBL. He's capable of it, but that's what I'm looking for in the Blitz. Is he, you know, he signed a long deal. Is he serious? And I really like him as a player, but I didn't like him last year. Say that much.
Yeah.
Let's jump on. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, what are you hoping for them at the Blitz?
I'm hoping to see two things. What identity are they going to run with this year? Are they finally packing away that sort of vague inside-out offense that they've been running? Now that they've moved Cam Glidden on, they've got a bit of a different lineup. They don't have Jochi in the middle. Are they going to do some different things offensively? I think they will. So I'm curious to see how the guards, you know, the Trey Kell and Gary Brown, how they change the flow of this Phoenix team.
It's interesting. I'm really, really looking hard at this Southeast Melbourne team in the Blitz. Are they for real? Because I quite like their roster. I think they've recruited better. Alan Williams is key. Think about the bigs that have come through Southeast Melbourne. Pano, who had that really good year, now perennially hurt. Can he still play? We haven't seen him in 2 seasons.
Yep.
Remember Doug Benson? Doug Benson? George Benson? Who was he? Can't remember.
Nobody liked him. They hated that guy.
Oh, and then there was the one last year. Can't remember his name. Never played. Cut him for, quote unquote, COVID reasons.
That's right.
Yep. Can't remember. If people out there, hit me up on Twitter, at NBL Pocket Pod, his name. That's a pub trivia question for you.
Another guy who wasn't well liked, I don't think.
Never played it. So their recruitment of bigs has been poor. Yeah. Have they finally found one who can take the load off Mitch Creek so that by three quarters of the year he is not – he just couldn't play the defense he wanted to because he was exhausted.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping he gets some relief. I'll be watching this new import really, really closely. Big time. But my worry for me of them is Adnam Brokoff Tarangi. They consume 65 of 200 minutes on the floor. It's 33% of the minutes for the court. We've said it. You know, we're not going to say it. I still think they're a finals team. I think I've got them in fourth.
Okay.
I'm happy to do my rankings. I'm doing it now. I'm throwing them down.
I feel like I need to do one on the fly now without any, you know, I was going to say.
You see them in the finals, right?
Yeah, maybe the play-in thing.
Wow. Okay.
Might be 5 or 6.
The reason why I have them in the finals is Tasmania, I think, are the ones to drop out. And then we're talking about them next.
Yep.
Let's talk about them.
Okay.
There's normally that old rule, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, if it ain't broke, do fix it. That's the Jack Jumpers thing. We made the finals. We're getting rid of our imports. Now, our best players, you're out. New ones in. Good luck with that strategy. I don't know. I don't hate it. I don't like it. What do you think?
Well, I feel like there was just a lot of back and forth. Not a lot of good communication there. Because first of all, he wanted out, and then he wanted in, and they thought he wanted out, so they went elsewhere. And then he wanted back in. It was a disaster. It's how not to manage an import, but that's all right. It is what it is, right? And to be fair, while Adams was the best player in the final series, he was up and down for most of the year.
Agreed, totally agree.
So I don't think he just had a purple patch at the right time and everybody remembers it. And it was awesome, but I think they'll do okay without him.
Mm.
But what are you expecting? Thing for me,
what are you expecting at the Blitz?
At the Blitz, I want to see how controlling now that Majette's going to be. Second year in the league, Yeah, is he going to really, really try and corral this team and control it? I feel like sometimes last year he didn't quite know whether he was looking for his own shot. Was he trying to get others involved? I want to see his identity all over this team now as the lead import.
Here's what I want to see at the Blitz. I look at this team and I say, what was the recipe of their success? Number one is they were a wildcat parrot. They played great D, league best defense almost, and shot a lot of threes and made some in a year that was the worst three-point shooting year ever in the history of the NBL.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. And I'm hoping someone will stick a microphone in someone's face at the Blitz. Oh, you could. Ask the players. Why did – first question out of the book. Why were you so horrible from the outside? All of you. Every last one of you. That'd be fun. Who had breakout seasons last year? They had a couple of guys pop who none of us thought were going to be good. McVay and Steindl in particular. I thought Steindl had a really good year by his standards. He was a routine scorer, big-time scorer, clutch scorer. He's now hurt already.
He's hurt, yeah.
Brutal. Brutal for them. He's their captain too. And then McVay. At the Blitz, I want to see McVay now. Yeah, you had your breakout year, but now can you maintain it? And it's one thing to have a breakout year, get hot. That's great. Now you're in year two of, okay, great, we've seen it, do it again. Really tough to do. So I want to see if he's, because his mindset's always like, I'll put him up, do my best. Now he's being relied upon, especially with Steindl out, so it's critical. Yeah. And then Magne, is Magne healthy coming back?
He's still out. I'm almost out on Magne. I'm just not sure he's ever going to return. And I think they papered over the cracks last season. They can't keep doing that.
No, they need, they're not. The polish is worn off for sure. The other thing that's not going to work in this team's favor again is COVID was this team's friend. They had the bubble in Tasmania. They didn't have to travel much. A lot of teams were coming to them. All of a sudden, that benefit is gone. But I still think they'll be good. I've got them as the fifth or sixth best team in the NBL. They're still, because for the simple reason is they're going to defend.
Yeah.
And they're going to rebound both offensively and defensively. And in the NBL, where the refs will let you manhandle people, I think that goes a long way. Let's talk about Adelaide.
I'm putting them at around eighth or ninth.
Oh, you think they're bad?
Yep.
I just think they're going to play D. And the reason why, that's why I've got them up fifth, sixth, because Adelaide, we're about to talk about them. I don't know about their D. New Zealand, who knows? Yeah, a couple of teams we skipped over. We've got to come back to Cairns. But let's talk about Adelaide. I've got them as the sixth best team because I just don't think they're going to play D. But what do you think about them and what do you think they're going to do at the Blitz?
Okay, I'm a bit higher on Adelaide. Assuming that Robert Franks, he's playing now, isn't he? There's all talk about him not turning up, but he seems like he's there. He's part of the team. I want to see them just build a high-octane offense. I want to see them go back to the Phil Smyth era 36ers and just try and blow teams off the court.
Can I give you their lineup? It's a fun team, eh? Johnson, Franks, Cleveland, Randall, who looks good, import, McCarron, with Detch, Drimmick, and Galloway backing them up. I like Galloway. Lengthy kind of wing, dunk the ball, block shots, blah, blah, blah. That's pretty good. But
I like a lot of this team. They've got a bit of everything.
I can't look past a defensive front line of Johnson and Franks. I can't do that. That is 2 points. Get them in pick and roll. That is two. Milk them down. Just ink them up.
You got the guards defending, so you got to get past the guards. You got to get past Cleveland. You got to get past
Detch, McCarron, Drimmick. I agree, Galloway. I agree with that. Cleveland
and then
as well.
Soto is at the rim.
No, I didn't. It didn't factor into my equation.
Get the Philippines, cheering for him.
Social media through the roof. Maybe he's gotten a little bit better, but I just see holes. And here's the thing: you might say, "Oh, you got to get by the guards first." I'm like, these coaches are clever. They're going to go Johnson, attack him. Franks, attack him. Okay, who's on now? Attack him. They're going to, if they're a half-decent coach coming up against this team, they're going to find a way to exploit those guys, get them in foul trouble. And then I don't like the look of this team. I've got that defense. NBL is defense. This is not the NBA. This is not a high-flying league. This is a down in the mud, smear the green paint under your eyes. It's a brutal contest. And no, I just can't. No, I can't reward teams that don't play defense.
I'm excited by this because I want this to be a throwback to those Adelaide teams. We're where teams used to have a clear identity, and like Melbourne Tigers, when Gaze and stuff was playing, Gaze and Copeland, you knew you were just in for a scoring fest. And it was the same with Adelaide. You just knew they didn't really care about playing defense. I'll just go down and score on you and score on you and score on you. I want that to be back to like, that's what Adelaide's all about. You know, that's fun. So I'm hoping they bring that.
Let's go to Cairns. Semi-tropical, kind of near Darwin, sort of. Same line of latitude. Do you like them? Do you not like them? What do you want from the Blitz?
I think that'd be really fun. And I'm looking forward to watching them as like an all-entertainment team.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like how they were with when they had Machado and Oliver a couple of seasons ago. It was just, it was must-watch TV because you never quite knew what exciting thing was going to happen. I feel like it's going to be that this year again. Maybe a little less dunking and a bit more three-point shooting.
I don't see the talent upgrade. However, I think they're going to do two things that are really going to help them. They're going to play hard. Even last year when they were hurt and banged up and whatever else, they did play hard. They were a bit clueless at times, but they played hard.
Yep.
I just hopefully they can be healthy. Machado missed so many games last year. And when the games he played, he was clearly hobbled and hurt.
Yep.
They've cut bait there, which is sad. I thought he was a good player, but he just kept getting hurt.
He was just didn't fit anymore.
Just didn't fit anymore. And without Oliver there, he just didn't look right. Shannon Scott is the new guy they brought in. And if he can be healthy and good, fingers crossed.
Yep. I want to see this another up-tempo team. I just want to see him just run the ball constantly, never stop. Run. 8 seconds or less. I just think that could be a really fun team.
This is driving me nuts. Last year, the Tasmania Jack Jumpers made the grand final.
Yeah.
Did you see their pace of play? Did you see their style of play? It's just not. I can't.
We're entering a new era.
I can't watch. What's the tagline this season? It's not next level. It's something else now.
I've forgotten.
Is that what that? Oh, I forgot. I thought that could have been it. Hashtag I forgot. What you wish you forgot is we saw a semi-final between Melbourne and Tasmania that was just rock fest. I mean, scores in the 60s and it was brutal. I cannot sit here and say Cairns are going to be up pace and Adelaide are going to be up pace and they're going to win. Can't do it. Let's jump on. Look,
you can zig or you can zag. You know, like you can do what everybody else does. You're going to change it up.
I think it's zigging and zagging to an early grave. Who have we got left? And New Zealand.
Yep.
That's the last team we're talking about.
Playing games in New Zealand, no less. Yeah,
they're playing games this season, but before that, they're going to Darwin. They're playing in the Blitz, you would hope. Quiet little team. Like, you don't hear much about New Zealand. They've made a few signings. None of them really jumped off the page. They're probably good, but it's hard to know with imports.
Yep.
What do you want to see from in the Blitz?
Okay, there's two things I'm really excited to see about this team.
Ooh.
First of all, on the court, will McDowell White dominate?
Yeah.
And
long
secondly,
advertised to, and it's been slow to do so.
What personality is Modi Mayor bringing to the sidelines? We know him as the hype machine, right? What's he going to be
now
like?
He's on the mic.
Coach?
Time to put down the, what do you call that, air horn thing?
The vuvuzela.
The megaphone down, microphone up. Now you're not just the hype man. You've got to do the lyrics. Yeah, I like the way you think. Do you think they're good? I've got them as eight.
I don't think they're good. I think they'll have occasional good games where they just blow teams off the court for some random reason. But I don't think they're good. They just don't quite have enough there.
Here are the alarm bells for me. Good thing is people are going to have to travel to New Zealand. If you're from Perth, that's a long trip. That's to their advantage.
That's five games right there.
Yep, that's a couple of games. And that's, you got to check your passport when you get there. Da, da, da. So that's a bad thing for visiting teams. So that works in their advantage. I'll say this, though. New coach, normally, it can be a bit of a mixed blessing, but normally it's not a good thing. You want a coach who's been there for a while. Nothing on the roster jumps out to me. Here's the other thing. And maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think I'm right. They are the only team with a next star.
Yes.
Next Rhea star Rupaya. To me is a little bit of a white flag where we're not going all in. We kind of want the NBA draft money.
Chasing that cash out, yep.
Free roster spot courtesy of the league. It reeks to me of a little bit I'll say this, the track record of teams with a next star that plays big minutes, pretty average.
Yep. Yep.
Adelaide, New Zealand, when they had Hampton, they were a poor team, then got rid of him and got good.
Yep.
Illawarra, Ball, Melbourne last year, exception with Hugh Porty, but Southeast Melbourne, yep. Terry Armstrong, very seldom does it pan out.
Yeah.
Even last year, New Zealand last year, they didn't do well.
Yep.
So that's my red flag for them. So what am I looking for in the Blitz? Like, have they recruited imports of talent? And how have they repaired Delaney's departure?
Mm.
Not sure they have. So no, that's what I'm looking to see.
I sort of feel like they're still going to be relying on Abercrombie a fair bit. And he's getting old now.
Well, he missed a lot of time. A lot of time last year and the year before, didn't he?
And then I guess Vidanovic is sort of coming in a little bit.
I like him.
He was good last year for the Kings. I'm surprised he left.
I'm surprised the Wildcats didn't kick the tires on him and think, big guy, rebound, hit some threes.
Yep.
A couple of teams could have used him big time.
Yeah.
Southeast Melbourne, just as a bit of insurance for their bigs, which have been bad. Yeah, he's a guy.
But he is a Kiwi, isn't he? So
He is indeed. But I feel bad picking this team 8 because I do quite like the Arfa and a few things. So they could surprise. I'll ask this one question.
Yep.
At the end of the Blitz, when it's all said and done, who do you think people are going to be going, that was a surprise team. That team caught us off guard. Who do you think that's going to be?
Oh, it's a good question.
I think it's going to be New Zealand.
Okay.
I know we kind of ragged on them, but I think the Arfa with a little bit more restraint, with McDowell White taking a step forward, maybe their imports are good. I think people have got no expectation of them, and they're going to jump up a little bit.
Okay. I would probably say, if I had to pick anybody, I'd probably say Southeast Melbourne.
Okay.
I think they've got scope to improve, but I don't think anybody truly believes they're going to.
Yeah.
So I'd be looking for them to maybe surprise a few people.
Do you think anyone's going to fall at the Blitz? Do you think a team coming in, and there hasn't been a heck of a lot written about the NBL to this point, but do you think there's any teams that are going to come out of the Blitz and it's going to be obvious there? I think Brisbane for me is the team that people are going to come away and go, ooh, already banged up and it's day one, you know?
Yep. And that's a fair point. And I think Brisbane's defense against that will be, it's early and we haven't got a full squad, so we don't really care. No. I would say Sydney Kings, because I think defending champs, if they don't come in and win this thing, everybody would be saying, "Ooh, wow, they're really missing the, really missing Adams, really missing Clark." So, I think that might be a early warning signs, or especially in the media being so much out of Sydney. If they don't do well, we might hear about it.
What's interesting as well is Pete Hawley for NBL.com put out some ratings. Pongrass on Twitter was like, "We're not getting the respect." I was like, rabbit ears. Sydney Kings have rabbit ears. They hear everything. Twitching. They don't like being spoken about that way. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I got two. I tweeted out a little while ago, two names that I want to talk to you about.
Yep.
And if you saw James Duncan's recent comments on the Huddle podcast, I haven't listened to that episode yet. Maybe you have.
I have, yes.
Okay. His words. I got two words. We'll go with the first name. Lamar Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to that episode with James Duncan, Liam Sanmaria, the Huddle people out there, subscribe, listen to it.
Yep.
Who was he talking to? Like, it felt like that was retroactive. It felt like it was directed at Patterson.
What are you talking about when he said, "I'm not having to coach effort this year"?
Precisely.
Yes.
it couldn't have been about someone on, because it was weird because he was talking in the present tense, but I was like, oh, who's not that guy on your team? And it was post tense. It was past tense, pardon me.
Yep. Yep, that was pretty apparent.
Pretty apparent.
It was a good interview.
Yeah, it was very animated.
He's well spoken.
I think he's got his work cut out for him. Work cut out for him. Big time. Are they going to play D? I don't know. The other name, so Lamar Patterson, you think, judging from that interview and how he played last year and the year before,
yeah.
I mean, is he going to take the hit and go, all right, I'm going to take Devondrick Walker money and get – because I think he plays in the NBL 1 North.
Yeah, he did.
So he's still around. And, I mean, if he's your third import, you're doing all right.
Yeah, I think he's a bit of a cancer just because of that effort stuff. Wow. You know, you don't want a guy slouching, especially not a third import. Third import should be showing hunger and desire.
Can I just say, I think it's a good thing you said cancer instead of dead weight. I think that was really measured by you.
I did say hunger and desire, though.
Careful. Hey, now. Sorry, I interrupted. Yeah. You don't think he pops up somewhere?
Nah. Nah, he's cooked. Yeah, medium rare. Yeah. Sorry.
70-30, Chuck. Here's the thing. I still would kick the tires on him, eh? I just think.
Really?
I just think. He can play. He can play.
He's got a nose for the hoop.
But is he willing to take the slash in money? Is he willing to take the slash in role? Come off the bench, you know, give us 5 minutes at a time. And
it's sort of a Corey Webster redemption story, isn't it?
Precisely. But it's so bizarre. I mean, he was a guy who was third in MVP voting. Now NBL one and out of the league. There's something up there. And anyway, I'm not going to go on Lamar Patterson. I wish him well. And I hope he gets in shape and plays well because he was fun to watch when he's good. Absolutely. The other one, Nate Jawai. Could he pop up at the Blitz somewhere? I don't know how sort of training deals work and signings and contracts and guaranteed stuff, but could he – or is this it? Is he done?
I would tend to think he's done, but if he pops up in Darwin, you're not going to miss him. So it's going to be pretty apparent if he's here. He will be seen. But no, I just don't see where a team would be interested. You know, the league's getting smaller and faster. So –
But yeah, we all love Baines. This is where I'm not. I'm like, Nate Jawai can't get a job, but Aaron Baines with a crippling neck injury is getting big money. I want to be the first.
He was a boomer. I mean, Jawai wasn't playing for the boomers. Not recently.
In squad, sort of.
A long time ago.
Yeah, but he hasn't taken 9 months off basketball to learn how to walk again. Bless it. Like, I feel like I'm really piling on Baines and I apologize, but you got to look at it as a GM. Sorry, I'm going back to the same old stuff. But Jawai,
so who, where would he fit?
No, I'm with you though. I as much as I ask the question, I have the same answer. I he's a lumbering 7-footer who can't defend pick and roll.
Yeah.
Full stop. You cannot play. No one's going to pay you the money to do that. So
yeah, the best hope. Maybe it is a long shot. Will Magnay like ruled out?
Yeah, injury replacement. Yeah.
And then bring in Jawai or for him.
Oh, man. There must be some NBL one guys who are like bigger. Nah, Jawai can play though. Like, but he bends the game around him. If he's on your team when he's on the court, you have to play to his style. He doesn't play to yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what a sad ending, if so. And he's weird career, eh? He's got a very, very strange career.
Yeah, sort of hampered, but had injuries at bad times and that sort of heart complaint sort of stopped him in the NBA and all that kind of stuff. So real tough.
Ultimate victim of circumstance where born in – where's he from in Far North Queensland?
Bamaga.
Yeah. So from there, which is just totally off grid. I mean, if he was born in Melbourne Central, NBA, star.
Yeah.
Would have had the health – started playing late, played the wrong sports growing up. Yeah, this is a guy. So when I hear people from, the bigger cities be like, "Oh, I've come from nothing and I'm here," it's like, no, you came from a lot more than you think.
Yeah,
and he's a sad. It's a just Jawai. And if you've read Matt Logue's Hoop Dreams Down Under, the chapter on Jawai, all he's talking about is how fearful he was to. I was afraid to go to Cairns. I was afraid to go to the draft. I was afraid to go to Toronto. I was afraid to go to. He's a guy 7 foot. 360 pounds, whatever he was, scared to death his whole life.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on there, but that's for another day. So that's the Blitz. Yeah.
So Joe, I've got a question for you. So I am in Darwin, as we talked about at the beginning. I'm in Darwin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I should particularly be looking to do? Mm. I want to try and catch up with teams if I can. I want to get some interviews if I can. Anything else you're looking for from me? What can I do to help the podcast, my friend?
I'm going to set a challenge. Simon Mitchell has done this podcast before.
Yep.
We like Simon Mitchell.
We do.
He's friend also a very friend of the show and also not shy of the camera and the microphone either. It's not a very safe space between Simon Mitchell and a microphone. He's good like that. He will give interviews. He's a good guy. I like him.
Yeah.
I'm going to set the task of Simon Mitchell. Get me Simon Mitchell because his team's interesting. It's a lot to talk about with him. And mainly the thing with him is, are they going to have some good luck this year? So Simon Mitchell, what else? If you can get a single player interview, yep. and whether or not they have even heard, they certainly haven't listened to, but even if they've heard of this podcast,
yep.
just a yes or no answer is fine. And then maybe a follow-up question of, well, would you ever? And obviously the answer would be no. And that's fine.
I'm just wondering if I'm going to wander in there and be like, hi, I'm Andrew Canyon. They can be like, yeah,
who?
Like,
what?
Who, what? Yeah.
Get out.
NBL Pocket Podcast? What? What are you talking about, man? So, you know, but we'll do our best, you know.
If any DP gives you trouble, just say, hey, the Patreon money from this podcast is probably similar to your wages, pal. So just watch yourself. No. I think that'll be fun.
I'm super excited to be here. I'll be amazing. I'm going to really make the most of it. And if nothing else, I'm going to watch a lot of basketball.
Yeah. Now you'll really have your finger on the pulse of what's going on. And I think that's exciting.
And if anybody happens to be here, please find me, say hello. If you listen to the show, don't be shy.
Yeah, I think see if you can get some media guys too, because the players will always be a bit cagey and they're playing and they're busy and all that. But the yep. media guys, even the younger guys, get the younger guys and see, yeah. you know, see what they really think yeah. and what they're up
to. It's amazing what a media guy will do for a beer. I know that much. worked in and around the media long enough to know that.
Yeah, there you go. Andrew, I think I'm so truce with envy that you're over there in Darwin. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Taking the sights, maybe some basketball. Do what you feel.
Chartreuse with envy.
Chartreuse, it's a green drink. So green with
yeah,
envy.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know. I just love the word that you just threw in there. It was beautiful.
I think it's from that thing you do with Tom Hanks. So can't take
okay, well that lessens it a little.
This is babbling on. Last thing I want to say.
Yep.
People, get out. Put your shoes on. Actually, no, leave them off. Barefooted, get up and march to your nearest bookstore, Dimmicks mm-hmm. or otherwise, and buy a copy of Botty Nodge's book, Patty Mills. This is the one thing you should spend money on with Patty Mills on the front of it. This is yep. adequately priced. In fact, for the price it would cost to send your kid to 3 hours of training, or let's say $100 to go to the speech, you could pick up this book and you could. It's hours of fun and you can read it anytime you want and the stories are all there. I think it's what, 25, 30 quid, something like that. Go and buy a copy of the book.
Yep.
Good book to buy, good book to own. I've got it. You're reading it at the minute.
I've got it right in front of me now. It's actually it's the stand for my microphone as we sit here right now.
Yeah, there you go. So once you've done reading it, a fine paperweight doorstop. Very, body would agree. All right, everyone. Thanks very much. And also, if you enjoyed this episode, consider becoming a patron. The patrons loved it the last two yep. months, forking out a minuscule amount of money for nothing. Thank you to them, by the way. We do appreciate that.
And keep an eye on this feed because we're going to try and do a few pods, even if yeah. they're just like rapid things. Keep an eye out. We're going to try and put a bit of content out. Seeing as yep. I'm here, going to try and make it interesting for
people. Even if you put out like little 5 minute
yep.
pods after each yep. game or after the end of the day, it may just be even you or whatever. That'd be great.
It'll be rough and ready, you know. But
if
just,
you do that, I'll listen to this pod.
There you go.
That'd be great.
And, all right, so yeah, keep an eye out and follow us on Twitter.
Yep.
At Andrew Canyon, at NBL Pocket Pod.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. I think yeah. I've run out of things to promote.